For WMMT, I'm Sylvia Ryerson with Mimi Pickering. Since January, thousands of coal miners have been laid off in central Appalachia. We've heard a lot of opinions about the causes of this decline and what the future holds, from industry leaders, elected officials, and even the presidential candidates. But what do those who mine the coal have to say? Letcher County underground miner Gary Bentley lost his job with Arch Coal in June. We sat down with Bentley in the WMMT studio just hours before he left home for a new mining job in western Kentucky.
You could say the 10 years that I've been around the mining industry, I've never seen anything like this. I'm Gary Bentley, a 29-year-old coal miner with 9 years' experience, and I'm from Whitesburg, Kentucky.
From out of the pit of darkness, from out of the bowels of hell, we stagger each morning at 7, like a man escaping from jail.
Straight out of high school, I was like, I'm going to college. I'm getting away from the coal industry. Started going to college and realized how much that cost, you know, the expense of just getting back and forth to class, being able to eat, and so forth. So I started working in the mines to essentially pay for my college and realized I was going into education and that there was more money in the mining industry than there was in education. So I just stuck with mining. I've seen companies slow down. You know, you only get 40 hours this week, or you only get 32 hours this week. And that's the worst case I've ever seen. I've never seen massive layoffs. I've seen jobs shut down and the workers transfer to another mine. It's for the time that I've been working underground, it was what we called a miner's market. Essentially, if you were an experienced miner and you could run equipment and do a little bit, you could go wherever you wanted to and get a job. And now you've got thousands of workers looking for jobs. And there's nothing in this area. I mean, there's no jobs. I mean, not just in mining industry, but there's no jobs in this area for people to make a real decent living wage. The layoffs began back around the end of October, early November, real close to Thanksgiving. Then it would go 3 or 4 months. You would have another layoff. Then it went a few different months, and they did what they call a realignment, where they lay off some workers, and then they shift all the employees to different mines, different locations, and restructure the ranking, I guess you would say, of the employment. And then in June, all the operations were shut down. There was around 659 miners that lost their jobs in one day. There were guys that had 25 years and more with the company. It was just real devastating, you know. In the mining industry, there's always, we call it the rumor mill, there's always these rumors. So for months we'd been hearing, you're going to get laid off, you're going to get laid off. But the company was always, no, we don't know what's going on. As long as you keep doing good, there'll be a job. And then we came outside and they just stopped us. They said, we need to have a meeting. And they said, don't come out to work tomorrow, there's no more job. The Warren Act, I mean, literally saved me. Due to the Warren Act, all the employees did receive pay for 60 days. If it was not for that, I don't know what I would have done, because there's no way I could pay my mortgage and support my daughter, you know, buy groceries, put food on the table, and just the gas money it takes to go from place to place to look for a job. There's no way I could do that on what unemployment pays. Unemployment will average about a quarter of what most guys would make. And then that's maxed out, because, you know, at a certain point, they just cut it off. I mean, it's kind of unreasonable to ask somebody to go from a certain amount, say, well, I'll give you a quarter of that, live off of that, you know, with no time, no way of planning. I mean, when you come out of your job, come outside from work, and then they tell you you're not coming to work tomorrow, this is what you have to live on. And I just don't feel like it's fair. You know, people come in and they make billions of dollars, and they've been doing it for hundreds of years here. And now, when they're leaving, they're just leaving us with nothing. When I was laid off, I got online. There's a couple mining-specific career sites. I uploaded my resume, started applying. I mean, I just applied for factory work, any kind of industrial heavy equipment, construction, just anything I could find that I was qualified to do. And so I've been to New Mexico, I've been to Winchester, Kentucky, been to Lexington, been to Louisville, Kentucky, been to Knoxville, Tennessee, and now out in around Owensboro and then down in Muhlenberg County. And the only job offers I had were in Carlsbad, New Mexico, and then in Muhlenberg County. So I decided to stay in the state. Most of the foremen and stuff that I know had worked in the coal industry for 20 years or longer. And so they feel like that's what they know and what they're comfortable with. So a lot of guys are going to Alabama, Pennsylvania, Northern West Virginia, and a couple guys have even talked about going to Australia. But those are about the only areas around this time that are doing any hiring and actually doing well in the industry. Yesterday I did a training class. There was 25 miners in there that were unemployed, and I was the only miner that had a hope of a job. The other 24 did not have that luck. I work with a lot of miners that don't even have a high school education. You know, they dropped out anywhere from sixth grade up and through, you know, say their junior year of high school, because the mining industry, you know, at that time, you didn't have to have an education. As they always say, you know, if you have a weak mind and a strong back, you'll do great. I mean, I've seen guys make six figures on an hourly salary, you know, and not even have a high school education. And now these guys, without a high school education, you can't get a job anywhere anymore. I mean, I've seen job listings in Lexington at fast food places, and they required a high school education. So without that, I feel sorry for the guys because I have no clue what their options would be. They're offering education assistance and a job training assistance. However, during this time you're in school, unless you can survive on, you know, a couple $100 a week, then how can you go to school? I mean, they're not offering to pay you to go to school, that sort of thing. Don't get me wrong, I think it's a great program and great opportunities for a lot of these guys. But, like me, you know, if you have a family, you can't afford to not work and go to school. Everybody wants to blame it on a certain person or blame it on the government. But I was recently at the EPA hearings in Pikeville, and I was real disappointed with our local, state, regional politicians because I felt like they all got up there and wanted to point their finger and say, it's so this person's fault, it's this person's fault. You know, they're fighting, they're trying to destroy our industry, they're destroying Eastern Kentucky. But at the same time, they're in the position. Why weren't they doing more to stand up for the region? Why weren't they trying to bring in other industry in case this? Because, I mean, the layoff started over a year ago, and you can see the decline in the market. Anybody with any sort of intelligence that keeps up on the coal industry saw the decline coming. Nobody knew how it would hit. So I feel that, political leaders and stuff really failed us by not having a backup plan for the area and for the people in the communities. I mean, the price of natural gas is the biggest player in this. I mean, natural gas destroyed the coal industry as far as the market goes on the price. These companies, and anybody can look this up online, I mean, it's out there to see. Kevin Crutchfield, CEO of Alpha Natural Resources, stated that they were moving their operations from Kentucky to the Illinois River Basin and to the Wyoming River Basin. They're moving out there because the coal's easier to mine and you make a larger profit. I mean, you can go to these rallies, and I've been to about three, and all they were doing was essentially fighting for votes. None of our local, regional political officers really wanted to talk about the issues or talk about how they were going to make this better or talk about how they were going to correct it. It was all an agenda to get more votes. And they were essentially all just rallying for the coal industry, which I'm grateful for because that's how I make my living. But at the same time, I want to hear what they're going to do to make things better. We need answers. We need real answers and real solutions, not just a bunch of hot wind. Thank you. I'm struggling. My daughter's staying here with her mom, so that means I'm at least going to be going a week, 2 weeks without getting to see her. I'll be able to talk to her on the phone. But yeah, just the fact of doing that is really hard. It's going to be hard not knowing that when I get off work, I can't just come into town and swing by a restaurant and see friends, see people I know, you know, stop and get a bite to eat. But yeah, I've lived in this county my entire life. So after 29 years of living somewhere, it's a little hard to leave. You feel like you're rooted pretty deep. But I feel like I don't have an option right now. That doesn't say you can't come back. I mean, I'd love to come back. The sooner the better.
Let's start shifting the gold mines. We've been down here.
That was Gary Bentley of Whitesburg, Kentucky. The song is Third Shift in the Coal Mines by Jay Clark. We talked to Bentley the same day he got on the road for Owensboro, Kentucky, 5.5 hours from home. Reporting for WMMT Mountain Community Radio, with Mimi Pickering, I'm Sylvia Ryerson.